Sorry. The title of my remarks today is The Battle, Good versus Evil. And turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, be reading verses 8 through 13. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 13. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? There are those in the world that will argue that human beings are really not all that bad. There are even some that say we are born good, or they say, how could a God who is love make anything evil? And again, they say, in creation, everything he made was very good. And this is why they believe that when their babies die, that they are innocent. They didn't commit a sin, considered sinless, and thus they can go to heaven. So we see, by failing to learn the simple lessons of human nature, which began in Genesis 3 of the great deceiver, which we know characterizes us, they prove how deceitful our hearts can really be. Probably a memory verse for all of us, Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Most people are not very willing to admit that they are sinners. But as we have been studying in the Law of Moses in our Wednesday night class, one of the main purposes of the law was to enable men to clearly see their own sinful ways, so that one might greatly appreciate the desperate need for such a great salvation. And salvation can only be possible when we acknowledge our wretchedness and then repent. From the time that we were able to speak, our mouths are open wide to self-justification and self-preservation, deceived in supposing that he is righteous. Is this not us? Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Turn to Ephesians 5:29. Ephesians 5:29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the Ecclesia. No man hates his own flesh. Now let us turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, starting at 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, and you have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made ye contemptible and base before all of the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father, and hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with good will at your hand. And yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? God sent this messenger, Malachi, to condemn the priest and the people also for their sins. And the response was a total denial of the charges. And it has been this way since the beginning of man and will not change. This is why people hate criticism. Because no matter how well-intended, however gently put, bitterness, hate, resentments flare up, and that's supposing we are righteous in our own eyes. The scriptures teach us about the tendencies and the proneness to sin, that in man it is great. We all know how strong its pull is, and we need to remind ourselves every day what scripture, what God's words tells us about our nature. Mark 7, 21 through 23. Mark chapter 7, 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all of these evil things come from within and defile the man. And then in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 1, I'll read through 18. What advantage of them hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Our nature, the flesh, sometimes called, is used to describe this rebelliousness part of man, especially when we are expressing its opposition to the Spirit of God. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:13. We become an offender when God's laws are disregarded and that our desires conflict with the law of God, and ultimately our obsession will become self. Our lives totally depend upon it being centered on God and not self, because as we all know too well, when our thoughts and our desires are acted upon, they will ruin our habits and our thinking and in our actions, and bad habits are formed and bad actions are done. Peter tells us that corruption is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4, Paul says that God gave men up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, in Romans 1:24. As we all know too well, human lusts have a strong pull, and they are a great driving force, as they have created much turmoil in man and confusion and hostilities. But mostly, we know that this is offensive to God. And we are reminded of John's statement that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that this is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:16. These lusts or desires lead to moral and physical corruption. They will ultimately destroy the ones who thought they provided for the keys to finding true happiness in their lives. James 1:13 through 16. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So here it is that we come to the title of my words today, the battle. This struggle within. And this falls nicely into the words left behind by Brother Jason in our decision making last week. Making decisions is a day-to-day part of our life. In all that we do and think, we will be making decisions. And probably most of them bad decisions. We make bad decisions from the bad habits that we formed in our youth. Old habits are hard to break. So there's a lot of truth in that old saying. It takes that conscious effort to push and to wrestle with this selfish nature that we inherited from being born of a woman, to glorify our Father in heaven, to do His will, and to recognize that there is a battle and that this is a struggle that is within us and is within our conscience. To do bad is easy. We don't even have to try. But to do His will, which requires our time and our attention, it requires our focus to be on others, to be on others' needs, totally reflecting His Son's character. And this is where we tend to fall off the tracks. What are our odds in this flesh and spirit wearying battle against such bitter enemies, good and evil? And so great a power that it is that only one man has been able to conquer it through the help of his Father and the holy angels. And by conquering his flesh, he performed the greatest act of love in his perfect obedient sacrifice. And it is only by his blood of this covenant that we too have been numbered among them to be called the sons of God. Let us remember this great blessing today and empower our thinking, changing our thought habits to improve our minds on the important, healthy, spiritual thoughts, and establishing worthy thoughts, pleasing our Heavenly Father, and cultivating in us what Paul wrote to the Philippians in 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or moral goodness, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We all know the truth, but more importantly, we all have to live it. So we ask ourselves, where do we stand up to the mark? What if I were to put a checklist up today on this board with the commandments of Christ, and we are going to put a check mark on all them that we are obeying and a cross mark on the ones that we don't obey? So we can do this in our heads, and what does our balance lean to? We can't be doers of the word when it is convenient for us. Doers of the word are making the effort to do those things which they might think are difficult. And this is going to show how sincere our walk really is with the one who knows already if we are even really trying our best. We will all need the mercy of God when it comes to judgment day, as he knows our frailty and he knows all of our weaknesses. But his demands are not impossible and his word is not incomprehensible. If we but put ourselves into his hands and be willing to let him work through us, that the impossible may become reality. And as we all know, with God, all things are possible. Noah built an ark. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. Moses freed Israel from Egypt. Joshua, the walls of Jericho, and bringing them into the promised land. David fighting Goliath. Daniel and the lion. Jonah and the whale. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Paul and his journeys. All of the apostles. These people are our examples. These brethren had faith in God, and this belief enabled them to do that which otherwise was impossible. The red light's on. It's still working, right? Y'all can hear me? These people are the example. These brethren had faith in God, and this belief enabled them to do, again, that which otherwise was impossible, trusting in God as we do his work in conquering of the enemy, the devil, and watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. We have to know our enemy if we are going to defeat them. The adversary is always on the hunt, seeking to devour the weak. Peter likens it as a roaring lion, not just a lion, but a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A hungry lion seeketh to devour its prey. Lions are the king of the beast, and they only eat flesh, and is chiefly a nocturnal creature. Lions are strong and stealthy, but it is their fierce predatory instinct that relates them to the desires of our flesh. And this is why there are so many verses in scriptures telling us to watch, to be awake, to be alert, to be on guard, because when we are not on guard is when sin will beat us up. And temptation is always going to be there for you and for me. And to beat it depends on the instant that this temptation presents itself, that we are turning to the Spirit word and to prayer. The Spirit must get there before the flesh does. And those first perceptions, those first thoughts must be directed to defeat any offensive habits, and by God's grace, we will be relieved by the burden for a season until it is utterly consumed in us if we are made immortal at His coming. This painful struggle within each of us is a good sign that we are on the right tracks. Because if there is no struggle, the flesh has already prevailed. By choosing the way of sin, divine chastisement is always directed against the flesh. And it is designed to bring back in focus of the one who is suffering the spiritual blessings and the responsibilities that we took on when we came out of Adam and into Christ. Are we not a new creature now, as children of God, who should hunger and thirst after righteousness and longing for the time of redemption of these mortal bodies? Most people are willing to suffer and accept a struggle if they can keep the vision of the joy set before them. Ephesians 1, I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, in which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Colossians chapter 21, Colossians 1, not 21, Colossians 1, 21 through 25. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the Ecclesia, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And then finally in Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Exceeding joy beyond our comprehension is the thoughts of this glorious kingdom. God hath chosen Zion, and He desired it for His habitation. And at that set time, the saints from every generation that have battled the evil with the desire to serve Him in truth and sincerity, who have lifted up their voices to Yahweh with strong desires, and who have waited with eager anticipation of the time when peace shall be within its walls and prosperity within its palaces. We are to develop our lives around this blessed hope, the hope of Israel, which today is as barren as ever, and there is no beauty that we should desire it from a fleshly view. But we look to the covenants made to the fathers and to David, which promised the elevation of Israel and its inhabitants in this kingdom age. Paul tells us that we have already come unto Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, because we have accepted the offer of the new covenant, based upon better promises. And this is what should drive us, or motivate us, in our thoughts and in our actions. Righteousness will prevail, and all the scriptures will be fulfilled, when Jerusalem will become the splendor of the whole earth, and all people will be upright. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful situation, the joy, the whole earth is of Mount Zion. In closing, I would like to read Psalms 48. Psalms 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, there in pain, as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, and as we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. With that, we come to the memorial portion of our service today. We will stand and sing hymn number 107. A great high priest has come, who stands in Aaron's place, who honoring the law established life and grace. Hymn number 107. True.